Carolina Reading Service, and this is Essence. In the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. Concrete Rose is turning secondhand style into a living Black archive. In honor of her late minister father, Concrete Rose pairs curated fashion with community care. The least, the lost, and the left out. That's what Rosalind Glover grew up hearing from her father. Words that weren't just a church model, but a mandate. Before Concrete Rose, which is a clothing swap service for Black women that launched late last year, was a created secondhand concept, it was an elementary school memory. Glover, tagging along to her dad's clothing drives, helping set up tables like a tiny merchandiser in training, and watching women light up as they filled bags with dollar-priced finds. Glover's father, a minister who ran Mount Bethel Human Services Corporation, passed away in 2023. But the work, serving the people too often forgotten, didn't stop with him. It simply shifted form. From that moment, I'm like, there's something here. And that something is now Concrete Rose. Part archive, part access point, part sisterhood, the brand was built on the belief that what we wear holds our stories, and that Black women deserve a fashion experience that sees us fully. Because for many of us, clothing isn't just clothing. Those garments become time capsules. Fashion is expression, Glover says. The way we express ourselves through clothing is unmatched. Concrete Rose leans into that truth by being highly curated. Before anyone receives a box, the brand sends a style quiz that's specific enough to feel like your best friend shopping your closet, down to climate, prints you hate, fit preferences, denim sizing, and what your wardrobe is missing. We're not guessing, says Glover. We ask, what do you hate? What do you love? Do you have an upcoming event? Boxes typically include about 4 to 6 pieces, averaging 5, with a value of $200 plus, and the brand is exploring the option of a monthly subscription without making customers feel locked into one. The point is choice, not obligation. It allows women the chance to give another woman that will absolutely love the product, Glover explains. The brand even incentivizes donors with money off purchases, helping women edit their wardrobes while still getting something meaningful in return. But Glover's archival lens is also political. It's about whose fashion stories are valued. She points to how many resale and rental platforms don't center Black women. When looking at what competitors have to offer, it does not center us whatsoever, says Glover. The clothing is not really what we wear. Her goal is to have our ear to the streets and build an ecosystem where Black women can rent, try, and access pieces that reflect what we actually want, without the price gatekeeping that often comes with supporting Black designers. As much as Concrete Rose is about clothes, it's also about what clothes unlock. Glover calls her vision healing through fashion. She's intentional about not limiting her customer to one age group. Older Black women, she notes, want to experiment too, but may not want to gamble on a pricey one-off purchase they might regret. Rebuilding Concrete Rose in her father's honor became part of that rebuilding. I want to become everything that they knew I could be, she says of her father and her best friend, her biggest cheerleaders. When they were gone, she had to learn to root for herself, and she did. And if Concrete Rose becomes an archive in the long term, it won't be because it preserved the designer labels and pristine bags. It will be because it preserved something more intimate, the proof of Black women living, evolving, and choosing themselves. I want them to see Black excellence, she says, but I also want them to see the stories of what can happen when you let things go. And that article was by Larry Stansbury. Eva Marcille's daughter, Marley, just turned 12, and they celebrated with an adventure in New York City. And this article is by Elizabeth Ayula. In addition to taking in a Broadway show and dancing in Times Square, the star reflected on the community of love surrounding her daughter. We blinked, and Eva Marcel's firstborn daughter, Marley Ray, up and turned 12. To mark the occasion, the former top model winner took her preteen on a trip to New York City. One of the people who hosted them while in the Big Apple was Candy Burris. She's currently living in New York City while starring in the Broadway play Juliet. New York owes us nothing, Marcel wrote in an Instagram post alongside a carousel of images and video. Marley Ray Sterling is a big 12-year-old princess. Thank you, Candy, for such an amazing experience, and Juliet. It was epic and priceless and absolutely an evening to remember. Because it takes a community to raise a child, Marcel went on to acknowledge everyone who's contributed to Marley's growth in the caption. When it comes to love for Marley Ray, the village runs deep. From TikTok dances in Times Square to surprise dinners to surprise friends from across the country, Marley is loved and growing into such a beautiful flower. More pictures and videos to come. My firstborn, mommy's angel, happy birthday. The 12-year-old's biological father, Kevin McCall, also showed her some love on her birthday. Marcel has full custody of Marley, raising her with her ex-husband, Michael Sterling, with whom she recently reconciled. McCall hasn't seen the preteen in over a decade. Happy 12th birthday, my angel. I'm just making sure nothing stops me from meeting you again one day, he wrote. I'm your number one fan, and you and your sister have made my life such an incredible experience. Everything that's weak in me is dying because I'm obsessed with being a father. I tried to forget the pain I feel during your birthday, but I had nightmares for 2 days trying to block out the pain. But seeing your post today, it's like a reminder from God. The better days are ahead. This is just temporary. You made my day, girl. Wow, look at my twin. She's 12 today. Ha ha, Marley Ray McCall. On all platforms now. The artist and model dated briefly and had Marley in February of 2015. Their courtship fell apart shortly after, and McCall was arrested in 2019 for domestic violence with another woman. Around that time, Marcel claimed that she was also abused by the songwriter. When she spoke to Essence a few years ago, Marcel made it known that she has no contact with McCall. We don't have a relationship, she said at the time. He's blocked on all my social media. I have full custody of my daughter. Her dad is Michael Sterling, so he is a blast from the past and a memory. In 2018, the former Real Housewives of Atlanta cast member married Sterling, who adopted Marley 2 years later and gave her his last name. They also have 2 children together, sons Michael Jr. and Maverick. Though Marcel and Sterling divorced in 2023, they decided to spin the block and have since confirmed they're back together. Marcel described their relationship as a forever thing on social media back in September. The Black-owned brand helping us build generational wellness together. This article is sponsored by Well With All. When was the last time wellness felt like it was actually for you? Well With All, a proudly Black-owned and purpose-led brand, was built to answer that question, offering the kind of wellness that gets us, not the kind that asks you to wake up at 5 a.m. for cold plunges or spend half your paycheck on supplements you can't pronounce. Well With All is rewriting that story with products, tools, and care designed to help us feel good today while building generational wellness for tomorrow. Born from a bigger why, across the United States, life expectancy can differ by decades between neighboring communities. A reminder that wellness isn't just personal, it's systemic. Well With All was created to help close that divide. Co-founder Damond Martin has lived and worked on both sides of those disparities, so he knows the impact a brand can have when it's rooted in community. Well With All is more than a brand. It's a movement for generational wellness, says Martin, who has seen firsthand how a corner store versus an organic food market or a walk-in clinic versus preventive care can literally add or subtract years from our lives. Well With All was born from that reality. This deeper purpose guides everything. Well With All creates from the products themselves to the way the brand shows up for the communities it serves. Wellness that meets you where you are. Feel good first. Wellness isn't about perfection. It's about real life. It's the small choices we make in motion, the way we recharge, the moments of care we take for ourselves. Well With All beliefs, wellness should feel good, not overwhelming. People are carrying so much, especially women. Work, family, wellness, the weight of showing up every day. We are here to meet you in those moments with products that support how you really live. No pressure, no perfection, just small choices that help you feel good and keep going, says Martin. From flavor testing to product design to community conversations, Well With All invited real people and real experiences into the process from day one, all to make wellness feel more accessible, more joyful, and more possible for all of us. Feel good products with purpose. Well With All offers two types of products designed to support how we live every day. Daily vitamins and supplements, as well as a refreshing energy drink crafted to fit real life moments. Daily vitamins and supplements. Everyday care that's simple and supportive. The Better Daily and Good Numbers collections include multivitamins, heart health support, vitamin D3 plus K2, sleep support, omega-3, and more, all made with high-quality, clinically studied ingredients. These products support foundational well-being and fit easily into daily routines, making wellness feel more accessible and sustainable. Well With All Energy. Feel good energy anytime. First introduced in the historic heat of Essence Fest in New Orleans, Well With All Energy quickly became a crowd favorite. Ice cold cans meeting large crowds, inspiring cool vibes and immediate love for the great taste. It was just a preview of something bigger. In a world of high sugar sodas and ultra caffeinated energy drinks, Well With All Energy offers something different. With 80 milligrams of naturally sourced caffeine from tea, about the same as a cup of coffee, it delivers a smoother kind of lift designed to work with your day, not overwhelm it. With no added sugars and just 45 calories, it's an easy alternative to sugary drinks, enriched with B vitamins and vitamin C. It's lightly sparkling, fruit forward, made with 30% real fruit and vegetable juice, and genuinely enjoyable to drink. Flavors like peach, tropical mango, fruit punch, and strawberry lemonade tap into culture and nostalgia, each crafted to meet you wherever the day takes you. Fruit punch takes us back to family reunions, house parties, and the electric slide, Martin shares. It's made with intention, using real fruit and vegetable juice. We wanted to create something that energizes the body and honors the culture. Well With All has invited the community behind the scenes since day one, hosting taste events, surveys, and flavor votes that shaped these products. And the connection to the wider brand purpose is clear. When one of us chooses better, a moment of rest, a daily vitamin, a simple choice that supports our day, we move the whole community forward. Showing up for us, with us. From Essence Fest and HBCU campus visits to community pop-ups on Martha's Vineyard and events across Chicago and Boston, the brand shows up where we are already gathered. Think stretch sessions that turn into dance breaks, brunch tables filled with laughter, and quiet resets that give us permission to pause and breathe. Well With All celebrates wellness the way we actually live it, in motion, in connection, and in community. The Well With All Foundation, impact you can feel. Well With All reinvests 20% of profits into expanding access to heart health, mental health, and maternal health support across underserved communities. Through the Well With All Foundations and initiatives like the $1 million Well With All Prize, the brand strengthens wellness where it's needed most and uplifts leaders working to close health gaps where they are widest. The foundation also supports Black Longevity, an award-winning short documentary highlighting real stories of Black health, strength, and possibility, proving that our wellness story isn't just about overcoming, it's about thriving. This commitment isn't an add-on, it's at the core of the brand. With every purchase, you contribute to something bigger. So join the feel-good movement. This is your invitation to choose yourself in small ways. When you do, you're not just taking care of yourself, you're shifting something for all of us. You can find Well With All on Amazon.com, Walmart.com, Target.com, and select Target and Fruitful Yield stores. Discover your flavor, your ritual, your feel good. Visit WellWithAll.com and follow on Instagram at WellWithAll_ to be part of the movement in motion. The classic, the city, the culture. This article is by John Borders IV. Why Boston is hosting an HBCU Classic with Cash App Visa. Meet Boston in essence. Because Boston is sacred ground and more than deserves a new narrative. Before there was a United States, there was a black man, Crispus Attucks, who gave his life on Boston soil so that a nation could be born. His blood baptized the American Revolution. The city has always held a contradiction in tension, a cradle of liberty, and yet a place where liberty often felt elusive for people who looked like me. And still we showed up. We fought. We built. We endured. It was here that the 54th Massachusetts Infantry Regiment marched proud, black, and ready to give their lives, not just for the Union, but for the soul of a country that had not yet recognized their full humanity. During the Civil War, their charge at Fort Wagner wasn't just military. It was moral, and it started here. Just off the coast of Boston in Martha's Vineyard, black families found refuge. One of the first places in early America where we could own land, build homes, and create legacy. We raised generations under salt air and equity. We carved space, not just to survive, but to thrive. And in 1971, long before social media, hashtags, or even the phrase HBCU Classic, Howard University took the field at Harvard Stadium in a matchup promoted by the Urban League, where they faced the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. They were the victor. It was a statement that black excellence belonged, not just in Atlanta or D.C. or Baton Rouge, but in Boston, too. This year, that moment is reborn. On Saturday, August 30th, Morehouse College, my alma mater, will face Johnson C. Smith University in the first ever Essence HBCU Kickoff Classic at Harvard Stadium. It is the first classic of its kind in Boston and the first time in almost 55 years that two HBCUs will play at Harvard Stadium. The first matchup north of New York City. And for me, it's personal. As a Morehouse man, I've sat in the same seats and walked across the same Atlanta red clay as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Maynard Jackson, Spike Lee, and so many others who changed culture, policy, and perception. Morehouse taught me not just how to think, but how to move in the world with purpose, with pride, with poise. To see Morehouse take the field on this stage in this city, my city, is more than a football game. It's a full circle moment, a revival of pride, a celebration of legacy, a declaration that our stories belong everywhere, even and especially in Ivy League spaces that were never built with us in mind. But make no mistake, this classic isn't just about one school. It's about all of us. It's about Johnson C. Smith, a storied HBCU in the heart of Charlotte with a rich history of its own, full of leaders, educators, athletes, and activists who have shaped their communities and our country as well. It's about the students and alumni who will flood Boston during the weekend, bringing with them music, fashion, tradition, and culture that can't be duplicated. It's about the community activations, the bands battling, the fraternities and sororities stepping, strolling, hopping, and shimmying too. It's about the tailgates, the moments that make HBCU life magnetic. It's about the young kid in Mattapan, Roxbury, or Dorchester who's never seen an HBCU game in person, but who might leave that weekend with a dream in a direction they didn't have before. And it's about the city of Boston, a place that is redefining itself in real time. A majority-minority city, a cultural hub, a city that's learning to celebrate all of its history, not just the polished parts. The Essence HBCU Kickoff Classic is more than a weekend. It's a moment, a movement, a mirror held up to who we were, who we are, and where we're going. In a time when black stories are being silenced or sanitized, this event speaks loud and clear. We belong and we always have belonged. And now in this moment, in this climate, we're being seen. So when you ask me why this classic matters, why Boston matters, I'll say this, because there is no better place to honor black excellence, black culture, and the power of community than the soil where it first cried out for freedom. We're not just playing a game, we are reclaiming a space, and we're doing it with style, with soul, and with purpose. See y'all soon. Thirteen black women who have made beauty history. This article is by India S.B. Jones. In honor of the 100th anniversary of Black History Month, Essence celebrates 13 black women who forever changed the beauty industry. Since before the first Black History Month, which was introduced originally as Negro History Week in February 1926, black women have been making beauty history. Annie Turnbow Malone founded the cosmetics school Poro College in 1917 to teach black hair care. Madam C.J. Walker, who attended Poro and opened the hair school Layla College, formulated a black hair care method and product line called Walker Hair Care System, selling her philosophy of hair culture. And soprano singer Anita Patty Brown founded a mail order cosmetics and perfume business called Patty's Brazilian Toilet Luxuries in 1920. Now on the 100th anniversary of Black History Month, we look at all the women who continue to revolutionize the industry since then. From the inventor of sew-ins, Christina Jenkins, to Grandassa models in the Black is Beautiful movement, and the actresses who put Black beauty in the spotlight, read on for 13 Black women who've made Black beauty history over the past century. Josephine Baker, as the most referenced woman at the 2025 Met Gala, which had a theme channeling 1920s Harlem, Josephine Baker has long established her beauty identity in Black history. The American-born French entertainer was the first Black woman to star in a major motion picture, the 1927 French silent film Siren of the Tropics. In the film, she popularized the kiss curl, often styled by her hairdresser Antoni Sierpolsky. And then, since then, Baker has been one of the most identifiable beauty icons in history. Christina Jenkins. Wigs and hair pieces have long been a part of Black beauty culture, but they haven't always been easy to secure. Researching a solution, Christina Jenkins was the inventor of the sew-in method, sewing the extensions onto a person's natural hair using a needle and thread. By 1952, she was granted a patent for sew-ins before teaching the technique to other stylists throughout the U.S. and even internationally, leading to the popularity we see today. Dorothy Dandridge. Like Josephine Baker, Dorothy Dandridge was a Black woman who broke barriers in cinema. The entertainer became the first Black woman to earn an Academy Award nomination for Best Actress for her role in Carmen Jones, 1954, which had an all-Black cast. Her success turned her into a leading lady in the widely referenced old Hollywood beauty era, specifically with her red nail polish and lipstick as a symbol of glamour, power, and seduction. Grandassa Models. In 1962, a fashion show was held at the Purple Manor Jazz Club in East Harlem titled Naturally 62. The original African coiffure and fashion extravaganza designed to restore our racial pride and standards. According to Brooklyn Public Library, the show was organized by the African Jazz Art Society and Studios, a group of Black creatives co-founded by photographer Kwame Braithwaite and his brother, activist Elombe Breath. In the show, Grandassa Models wore their afros and traditional African fabrics with the tagline Black is Beautiful, which turned into a natural hair movement in the 1960s and 70s alongside the Civil Rights and Black Power movement. Danielle Luna. Peggy Ann Freeman, better known as Danielle Luna, is considered the first ever Black supermodel. Gaining popularity in America and Western Europe in the 1960s, she was the first Black model to appear on the cover of British Vogue in 1966. FloJo and Gail Devers. In the 1980s, three times Olympic gold medalist Gail Devers and the fastest woman in history, Florence Griffith Joyner, FloJo, were the first to wear long acrylics in track and field. They were the first to cross lines between beauty and sports, which is an influence we see especially prominent today, passing the torch to stars like Sha'Carri Richardson. Vanessa Williams. In 1983, Vanessa Williams shook the beauty industry when she became the first Black woman to win the Miss America pageant. Although the title was revoked due to Penthouse leaking nude photos of the model without her permission, Williams' achievement will never be underscored as a prominent milestone in Black beauty history. Tyra Banks, supermodel and Essence March-April 2025 cover star, was the first Black woman to ever appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue in 1996. Over two decades later, the model made history with the magazine by becoming the oldest woman on the cover. She's also the first to appear on the cover of GQ and get her wings as a Victoria's Secret angel. Naomi Campbell. In the 1990s, it was uncommon for more than one black model to be in a single fashion show, and even more rare for to be the first one to walk in. But in 1997, Naomi Campbell became the first black woman to open for Prada in their fall-winter 97-98 show. Since then, the only other black model to open the Prada show was Anouk Yai 20 years later. Alec Weck. Supermodel Alec Weck became the first black woman to appear on the cover of Elle magazine in November 1997. She appeared on the cover with minimal makeup, a shaved head, and luminescent skin. She later revealed to Elle her beauty secret cost a whopping $3.69. I use Johnson & Johnson. I use their baby gel. That's it. Pat McGrath. In 2015, makeup artist Pat McGrath and her powerhouse brand Pat McGrath Labs sold out of her very first product, Gold 001, in record-breaking time, just 6 minutes. In 2017, McGrath became the first makeup artist to receive the British Fashion Council Award, and in 2021, she became the first and only makeup artist to be named a Dame Commander of the British Empire. Rihanna. In 2017, Rihanna's Fenty Beauty was the first to revolutionize the beauty industry with shade-inclusive makeup products, specifically for darker skin tones. Straight out the gate, she launched the brand with 40 foundation shades, which has since reached over 50, which caused a ripple effect, coined the Fenty effect, throughout the industry. Since then, Rihanna's turned Fenty Beauty into an empire, becoming a billionaire in 2021. Did you know these 13 celebrities were Jehovah's Witnesses? And this article is by Rachel Davis. Songstress Jill Scott was raised in the Jehovah's Witness faith, but has stated in recent years that she no longer practices the religion. The Wayans family. Terrence Howard. Empire star Terrence Howard has expressed interest in joining the Jehovah's Witness faith, and his current wife is also raising their children in the faith. Notorious B.I.G. Rapper The Notorious B.I.G., a.k.a. Christopher Wallace, was raised in the Jehovah's Witness faith by his mother, Violetta Wallace, who is still active in the religion today. Sherry Shepherd was raised as a Jehovah's Witness but no longer practices the faith. Serena Williams was raised Jehovah's Witness and continues to practice many of her beliefs stemming from the religion today. The Jackson family. Several members no longer practice the religion, including Sister Janet. Mark John Jeffries was raised in the Jehovah's Witness faith as a child. Venus Williams, just like her sister Serena. Naomi Campbell was raised a Jehovah's Witness but no longer practices the faith. Marcus Houston, R&B singer, actor Marcus Houston, just recently completed his conversion into the Jehovah's Witness faith and has been actively celebrating his involvement with the religion on social media. Ja Rule. Rapper Ja Rule was raised in the Jehovah's Witness faith, but later left the religion after his mother was disfellowshipped. Prince. He was a practicing Jehovah's Witness for years after converting in 2003. We have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Tyra Banks, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.